Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your complex sources, your articles, your research, your notes, and turn them into a clear, actionable roadmap. If you've ever thought about building an app, whether it's for a startup or, you know, an internal tool for your company, you know the frustration we're tackling today. It's what we're calling the guesswork quote.
Oh, it's the ultimate productivity killer, isn't it? You spend weeks, sometimes months, talking to three different vendors. You're explaining your vision over and over again. And what do you get back?
Nothing you can actually use.
Exactly. Estimates that are so wildly inconsistent, they're completely non-comparable. You might get a one-page ballpark figure from one group.
And then a really confusing high-low range from another.
Right. It feels like you're just throwing darts in the dark.
It does. And the problem, it isn't just the confusion, is it? That initial ambiguity, that clarity gap, that is the direct path to project failure. It almost guarantees scope creep. It leads to these massive surprise invoices down the line.
And your app misses its launch date and completely blows the budget.
So we are here to offer a solution, or rather, the professional solution.
The one the most successful organizations absolutely insist upon, the App Discovery Workshop. This is a mandatory, structured discovery phase, and it's designed to fundamentally change that entire conversation.
It flips the script.
It completely flips the script. It turns your vague ideas and wish lists into concrete, documented, and crucially fully signed off requirements.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for this deep dive is to understand this workshop not just as a cost, but as an insurance policy. We need to detail exactly what tangible deliverables you walk away with, how those deliverables reduce your financial and timeline risk, and this is key, how they put you in a position of undeniable strength when you finally sit down to negotiate that development contract.
We have to start by making the problem tangible because the variance in quotes you get before discovery is. It's truly shocking.
I was really struck by the specific figures in our sources. Let's use that example. So say you're a small business owner, maybe launching a niche SaaS tool, and you go out for quotes. You get three replies back. Agency A says around $20,000,
Joel. Okay.
Agency B quotes somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000.
A huge jump already.
And then agency C, which is probably the most professional one, comes back and says probably $90,000 plus Steve, but we can only be precise after a proper discovery.
That is a staggering 450% difference between the low and high estimates. And what's fascinating is that, theoretically, all three of those agencies could be acting in good faith.
So it's not that they're trying to trick you.
Not necessarily. The variance happens because, without a clear scope definition, every single quote is built on these drastically different hidden assumptions about what you actually need.
So agency A, the 20,000 one, they're just assuming the bare minimum feature set, like a basic password login and maybe one core screen.
Precisely. They're betting on the smallest possible MVP. Agency C, on the other hand, with that 90,000 plus quote, is silently assuming a much richer feature set.
What would that include?
Things like complex multi-factor authentication, integration with three different business systems you already have, like Salesforce or an ERP.
Right. High security concerns, advanced error handling.
All of it. But because nothing is documented, you, the listener, can't compare apples to apples. You have no idea what's included in any of those prices.
Yeah, and if you push them for more detail, you just hear those classic warning signs like, oh, we'll figure out the exact requirements as we go.
Or it depends on which features you prioritize later. That clarity gap is a financial sinkhole. You sign the document based on the low end quote. You're thrilled you got a bargain.
Of course.
And then reality hits about a month into development. Then you start hearing things like, oh, the integration with your payment gateway. We have to charge extra for that.
Or this data encryption for compliance was never part of the original scope.
It's a hugely costly game of misaligned expectations.
And the discovery workshop is the insurance policy against that game. But let me ask the question a lot of listeners are probably thinking right now. Isn't paying for a discovery workshop just a request? Paying for a sales pitch that's disguised as consulting?
That is a critical question, and the answer is a resounding no, provided it's done correctly. A proper app discovery workshop is not a free 30-minute sales call. It's a structured, collaborative phase. You are paying for the time and expertise of senior business analysts, UX specialists, and technical architects.
So it's an intensive, shared effort. It usually spans several sessions over a few weeks, and the goal is systematic collaboration.
That's right. During this phase, you're jointly clarifying five key things. First, defining your ultimate business goals and constraints. You know, what problem are we actually trying to solve here?
Okay.
Second, you're deep diving into your target users and their journeys. Third, defining the comprehensive app scope and feature set.
And fourth,
proactively identifying and mitigating risks, dependencies, and all those necessary API integrations. And then fifth, turning all that new clarity into a realistic timeline and a detailed, justifiable effort estimate.
So who is the ideal candidate for a phase like this? Who really needs it?
Honestly, anyone who is serious about avoiding expensive rework later on. If you've already collected those wildly different quotes, that 20K versus 90K scenario, you need discovery just to understand the variance.
Right.
If you have a clear app idea, but you haven't translated that vision into concrete testable requirements, you definitely need discovery.
And I'm guessing if you're about to lock down a contract, but you're terrified of scope creep, this is your preventative medicine.
Absolutely. It sounds like it turns the vague command of, say, I need a simple login system into a detailed requirement.
Like, we require a login system compliant with iPayPal, using two-factor SMS authentication linked via OAuth to our existing customer database.
That transition from vague idea to specific requirement takes focused work. And this is where the true value lies. We need to underscore that when you pay for this workshop, you're not just buying expert time. You are purchasing tangible, reusable artifacts that you own.
And these documents are the ultimate tools for comparing quotes and for negotiation.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's dedicate some serious time to these deliverables, starting with the foundation that defines everything else. The PRD, the product requirements document.
The PRD is the backbone of your contract. It eliminates those gray zones entirely. It has to clearly document the app's goals and the desired business outcomes.
Mm.
The key user roles and personas who will use it, and the key use cases and workflows. How does a user actually accomplish their mission in your app?
And crucially, it has to contain a full feature list. But I think the magic is in the prioritization, right?
Oh, absolutely. A good PRD forces the entire team to decide what is a must-have for the minimum viable product launch.
Versus what's a nice-to-have for version 2 or version 3.
That prioritization is what prevents scope creep from the very beginning. If an agency gives you a 50,000 euro quote, you know exactly which prioritized features that money covers.
And if another agency quotes 70,000?
You can look at the PRD and ask, okay, which must-have feature are you charging extra for, or are you just padding the estimate?
So it immediately shifts the negotiation.
It does. You stop arguing about features and you start arguing about transparent capacity and their rate.
That's the negotiation leverage we were talking about at the start. You're no longer discussing the idea, you're discussing the effort.
Precisely. And the next deliverable makes that PRD visual: wireframes and user flows. Now, we really need to stress that the goal here is absolute clarity, not polished design.
Right. These aren't pretty pictures.
No, they're low fidelity layouts that just show what screens are necessary and how the user navigates between them.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because this is where those abstract requirements suddenly become concrete. The wireframes show you the core logic. You can see where the key actions are located, the navigation, the buttons, and you can walk through a typical user task, like requesting a refund, screen by screen.
And you notice all the necessary steps and, importantly, the edge cases.
It gives everyone the same exact mental picture before a single line of expensive code is written or any fancy graphics are applied.
Think about it. If you realize the flow for signing up is terrible or a critical button is missing, fixing it on a wireframe takes maybe an hour.
But fixing it after 2 months of coding
takes thousands of euros and weeks of rework. It's a massive difference.
Okay, so moving from the visual structure, we get to the atomic elements of development work. The user stories backlog. This is essential for agile planning.
It is. The user stories backlog translates those high-level requirements into small, actionable, testable tasks. The format is pretty standard. As a user role, I want an action goal so that I can benefit value.
Can you give an example?
Sure. As a clinic administrator, I want to see a weekly summary of bookings so that I can anticipate staffing needs.
And the critical part of every user story is the acceptance criteria. We can't let that detail just pass by.
No, we cannot. The acceptance criteria define when a feature is truly done and meets expectations. If your story is, as a user, I want to upload a profile picture, the acceptance criteria might be
something like, upload must support JPG and JPNG.
Right. And file size must not exceed 5 MEB. And maybe image must be compressed to a 200 by 200 thumbnail upon upload.
User receives a confirmation message.
Perfect. If that criteria isn't clearly defined up front, the developer might just do the first 2 points and call it a day.
So the feature is done for them, but not done for the business.
And that leads to mandatory and costly changes later on. That criteria locks in the quality.
Okay, so then we address risk mitigation with the last two key artifacts.
That's right. First, clear scope boundaries. This is your ultimate defense against scope creep. Discovery isn't just about what's in scope. It explicitly writes down what is out of scope.
So we define that user registration, login, and basic booking management are in scope. But advanced reporting, offline mode, and maybe a loyalty program integration are explicitly out of scope.
Exactly. When the project manager tries to introduce a new feature 6 weeks in, you just refer to the signed boundaries document. If it's out of scope, it's a formal change request.
Which means you maintain financial control.
You do. The second key artifact is the high-level technical and architecture outline. This is where the big-picture technology decisions get justified.
And this outline has to decide on the app, type native, hybrid, or web, and provide the clear reasoning for that choice, right?
It's all about the reasoning. They aren't just telling you what stack they like to use. They justify it based on your specific user needs and your budget.
So what are the main drivers for choosing, say, native over hybrid?
It's usually performance and device access. If your app requires heavy use of native device features like continuous background GPS or augmented reality or high-speed data processing, you go native for better performance.
But if your budget is tighter,
and your required features are more standard, like forms, lists, basic transactions, and cross-platform consistency is key, then hybrid is the justified choice.
Making that decision during discovery is far cheaper than trying to pivot technology 6 months into development.
Infinitely cheaper.
Let's turn out a cost and risk. Because relative to the cost of full development, discovery is a small piece, but its impact on risk management is just profound.
We really must look at the cost of discovery as an insurance premium. You're paying a small amount upfront to significantly reduce the probability of a catastrophic budget or timeline failure later.
The sources outline two common pricing models. First is the fixed price discovery package.
Right. This is typical for small to medium complexity projects. You get a defined number of sessions, a clear list of all the deliverables, the PRD, wireframes, backlog, and a set timeline, all provided upfront. No surprises.
And the second model
is time-based discovery, charged per day or per sprint. This is usually reserved for really complex enterprise-level products, like multi-sided platforms with unique business logic, where the initial phase might require deep iterations and stretch beyond a standard few weeks.
But even there, the focus is still on generating those concrete, reusable artifacts.
Always.
The financial lesson here is sharp. Skipping discovery is the ultimate false shortcut. You might save, what, 5% of the total project cost in phase one?
Only to pay 30 to 50% more later in rework, debugging, and unexpected change requests. The whole goal is to pay to reduce uncertainty when changes are still cheap on paper instead of when they involve rewriting code.
For clarity, let's walk through that typical timeline. For a small to medium project, it's often around 3 weeks.
That's a good baseline.
So week one is the kickoff and strategy phase. This is all about deep immersion, nailing down the business goals, mapping out user personas, and sketching initial user journeys. What are people actually doing?
Then week two focuses on structure and alignment. This is where the core wireframes get drafted for the essential screens. You have alignment sessions to make sure the UX meets the business needs, and the first comprehensive PRD draft is assembled.
You start to see the app taking shape.
You do. And then week three is all about documentation and definition. Finalizing the PRD, creating that detailed user stories backlog with clear acceptance criteria, formally defining the scope boundaries,
and the final presentation of the architecture outline and the detailed effort estimate.
Crucially, that detailed, accurate quote only arrives after week three because it's based on agreed upon deliverables. This whole process ties directly into contract risk management.
It creates a formal, documented foundation.
A set of artifacts that both parties sign off on before the contract even starts. It effectively eliminates those misaligned expectations and gives you clear criteria for when the project is actually finished.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, right now as you're evaluating potential partners? You need to be prepared to demand proper discovery. We've got an actionable pre-contract checklist here for evaluating any agency.
First, demand concrete deliverables and be specific. Don't settle for a couple of workshops. You must confirm you will receive the formalized PRD, clear wireframes, the user stories backlog with acceptance criteria, and those documented scope boundaries.
Second, and this is a major negotiation point.
Yeah.
Ask who owns the deliverables.
Yes. This is so important.
If you decide not to continue with that agency, maybe their final quota is too high or the chemistry just isn't right, can you legally take those artifacts and use them with another development team? They have to be your property.
Third, check the contract wording carefully. Is the discovery phase clearly written in as a separate section, with its own deliverables and an exact price? If it's just a vague promise hidden inside the overall development quote, they're not taking the process seriously.
Fourth, clarify the timeline precisely. When will you receive the PRD and other artifacts, and how soon after that will they commit to providing that accurate, detailed app quote? You need a reliable delivery date for what you're paying for.
Fifth, confirm their approach to complexity and risk. Will they openly discuss trade-offs, technical constraints, and potential pitfalls during discovery? Or will they just transcribe your feature requests without any critical pushback?
A professional agency should challenge your assumptions.
To protect your budget, yes.
And finally, number six, verify the platform decision. Does discovery include a platform and technology choice native, hybrid, or web-based? And is that choice justified by a detailed analysis of your user cases, budget, and performance needs?
If they just default to their preferred tech stack without justifying the why for your specific project, that's a massive red flag.
So, to reiterate core takeaway here.
Skipping discovery is the most expensive mistake you can make. Without this structured approach, your initial quotes will be inconsistent, your contract scope will be vague, and you are effectively guaranteeing scope creep and eroding your negotiation leverage.
But with proper discovery, you gain those clear, tangible, reusable artifacts. The PRD, the wireframes, the backlog, which allow you to request truly accurate, comparable quotes. You avoid the surprise cost because everything is defined. The most professional step you can take is to treat discovery as a real product, a foundational blueprint, not just some preliminary sales activity.
And here is a final thought for you to carry forward. The greatest power move a client can make in the development process is not demanding the lowest price. It's demanding the highest clarity. If an agency treats discovery as a quick, free component, how seriously are they actually taking your project risk? Demand the full roadmap from the start and prioritize that documented, feared clarity above everything else.